What's good, y'all? You guys know who it is. Ringside Rave. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and let's get into this podcast.
What up, y'all? This your boy News, representing that Ringside Rave all day. Y'all know what it is with me, man. Hey, today we got the episode 10 of the Fade Hour. I'm sitting here with my fellas. Let my boys introduce themselves first before we get into the type of beverages and flowers we may have or may not have with us. Hey, go ahead, introduce yourself, man.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Smoke, repping that Free Smoke Boxing and that Ringside Rave.
What's good, y'all? It's Pat Scorpion in the wing, a representative.
What up? It's your boy Pete, repping Bodega Boxing and Ringside Rave.
All right, y'all. And I started off. I got with me a little gelato, about a gram of gelato with me. You know what I'm saying? Got to get real laid back, real chill before we delve into this episode 10. Smoke, I know you got something. I know you got something with you.
Tonight, I have two juicy New England IPA, which is coming in at 8.2, and I got some Colombian Gold in my pipe. Mm.
Yeah. And I got, you know, I got a six pack of vanilla porter, the Breckenridge. At least they're 8%. So, those shits are making me feel good. You know what I'm saying?
What about you, P?
I'm at work, so I'm completely sober.
Hey, that's so crazy. P's always the sober guy on the fade. Now, listen, I'm already faded. Like I told the fellas, I've been getting faded all day long. I actually, we got the format, so we about to get into it. We're going to recap the bad blood, man. Terrence Crawford versus Jose Benavidez Jr. Hell of a build up to that fight. A lot of people tuned into the fight due to the promo, the beef that they had. I'm going to start it off. I'm going to send it to Smoke. Smoke, tell me your thoughts on the fight itself, or how the build up led into the fight and what you've seen. Pat, I want you to get into it. We're just going to do a Royal Rumble discussion. Like I said, I'm faded, y'all, so pardon me.
I was gonna say round table,
but it's the fade hour. We flipping tables over at this point. You know what I'm saying?
Saying round robin.
Whatever.
The card itself.
Nope, we're gonna start with
what's lit.
We're getting right to Crawford Benavidez. I wanna get right to it.
Crawford Benavidez. This is how I'll sum it up. It was a good scrap. It was entertaining to watch. I watched the fight with my pops, and he's a casual at best. And so before the fight started, I said to him, if Benavidez wins more than one round and it lasts longer than 9 rounds, I'd be totally shocked. It almost went 12. And then... Yeah, I mean, it technically did go 12. And so after the fight, I said, so Terrence Crawford is considered the number 2 best fighter in the world. And he said, that dude doesn't look like the second best fighter in the world. So that was my step-pops, who's a casual's takeaway. Mine was, the fight was entertaining, but Crawford is not elite at 147. He's going to have some issues with getting rocked, I think. But he was able to knock Benavidez out. So, I mean, how much can you say negative about it? It was a good performance.
Man, first of all, I mean, the build-up for that fight was wonderful, I thought. Because, I mean, originally, because at first it just seemed like there was no type of attention. There was, no promos, not even on ESPN, not ESPN Plus, because I still have my shit. You know, and I didn't, there was no promo on it, even though these two niggas actually hated each other. Ever since that.
So they said.
Well, they do. I mean, that clip, you know, this is not no damn Fury Wilder. Them niggas really hated each other. You know, the first clip we saw of these two was they were backstage, Crawford trying to offer the fade or something like that. You know, they was ready to thump. You know, so I'm like, you know, so that's why I was surprised there was no promo. I was like, these cats really don't like each other. If I took some bullshit at the weigh-in, you know, because they got in each other's face like that, that people got said, oh shit, you know, because I remember I was on Instagram, I seen all these celebs. I mean, that video was reposted like that. You know what I'm saying? Every known celebrity fight fan. I mean, even I think Ivan reached out to fucking Genuine's Instagram page. I got turned in to see this shit, King. I'm like, I mean, Genuine, I mean, is that nigga even a boxing fan? What the fuck is going on? So I was like, okay, this is about to be lit. And you know, the whole scene was just like, it was rocking. You know, DMX is out there. You know, that's funny because DMX boxing goes together. That energy is just like pow. You know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, this is what I'm talking about. Now, these niggas about ready to go to war. DMX is out here rapping. I hope DMX gets some royalties from this shit, man. DMX needs some goddamn royalties because DMX plays all this boxing shit, man. Every time you hear DMX, you know that shit is serious.
Yeah.
So the fight itself, though, I mean, it was first, Crawford is a slow starter, so he's like, he takes like 3 or 4 rounds max to actually try to figure out what the fuck he's going to do. And that length pause of Benavidez was giving him some issues. And it was giving him more issues because I noticed that he was slightly resetting because Benavidez was countering him pretty effectively. You know, because Crawford couldn't get out of his reach long enough. So Crawford, you know, was punishing the body, but he wasn't doing it enough. You know, because every time he started going in, Benavidez was catching him. And I was like, yeah, this is an interesting little chess match we got here. Benavidez, even as he was probably getting out of work this sometimes, he was still having Crawford reset over and over and over again.
Right.
Until he gassed out.
Yeah, until he finally gassed out. And then also, too, you know, you could tell that that bad knee to Benavidez was also affecting him, too. You know, because there was one point it buckled like, you know, like like RG3's knee in that playoff game. I was like, oh, that's not bad. So that's bad. That's really bad. And yeah, but that the uppercut that Crawford used Benavidez was beautiful. I mean, you don't see a right uppercut thrown with that type of way and caught flush. You know, that the fight was over at that time. I mean, the referee should have just gave him a mercy stoppage after that.
Let me say this real quick, Pat. I'm sorry to cut you off. I had to say this in the middle of the show. You know, we're doing the show, like I said, we're in the fade hour, and I just got a text from one of my boys who he in the boxing, but he's not really in the boxing like we are. Send me a text because he was turned up to watch the fight, like we're saying everybody turned in DMX, so he was rooting for Crawford. And his actual text to me says, yeah bro, I'm mad Crawford did drop him late though, lol, dude was hella immobile. Like but it's so funny because that's what you're talking about, his leg. And the thing is, he did have that injury to his to his leg, you know. And
that was actually because that injury was on some bullshit because someone capped him in his knee, like on some bullshit.
Right.
That could have ended his career, from what we heard. But pretty much after that fight, I mean, Benavidez had nothing. He just caught a fade on the ropes, man. The referee stopped. Yeah. I mean, he went down, but the referee cut his fall after that last right hook or whatever he took, man. So
was Benavidez even trying?
Yeah, I mean,
do anything but not get knocked out.
I mean, you got to think about it though. His leg was done. The man said his leg was done since the 9th. I mean, I understand, like, it's hard to fight a Terrence Crawford, period. We said coming into that fight, we seen what Benavidez was looking like. We seen what he was looking like. We said he had no chance regardless. So imagine what type of chance he was staying without a leg to stand on.
Right.
You know? So there wasn't, he was trying, he was still coming forward. He could have cowered it out. He could have quit inside of the leg injury and quit. He could have did that. He could have also, he still soldiered on. He still was throwing. He didn't get swept the 9th, 10th, and 11th, and 12th rounds after he got injured. So, I mean, he took his beating. He did take his beating. So I do got to give him respect for that. He did take his beating.
I mean, the only thing, though, I wish, though, that he probably did, every time he got hit with some shit, he was just standing there and posing. And they both were doing it. I mean, they were both doing it from the first round. They were just sitting, like, after they got hit with some shit, they shake their head and pose like, nah, this shit didn't affect me, bruh. So but then with Benavidez, though, it wasn't like, I mean, he was just countering. He was just looking for a counter. And then when his legs started bothering him, he just stayed on the ropes and just trying to bite Crawford over. I was like, he's not going to come over and do that. I mean, what the fuck? The referee's just going to tell your bitch ass to get in there and fight. You know, why are you on the ropes? You know, he's not going to fall for that. I mean, he knows, I mean, just get off the ropes and actually do something. And he did have floors where he was actually throwing a throw with Crawford. Both, though, one thing I did notice, they were both inaccurate. Like, when they were flurrying like that, I don't think the niggas were even landing on each other, Crawford or Benavidez. I was like, they are hella inaccurate. And with Crawford is usually not that inaccurate.
And no, Crawford's like, usually a lot sharper than he was.
I thought
he was being exceedingly careful, like way more careful than he should have been.
Yeah. That's it. What you got to say about it, P? How'd you see it?
Well, I mean, I was just going to say I was entertained by the fuckery leading up to the fight. All of that shit was entertaining. Actually, it was like Pat, it was all over people's Instagram that I knew that aren't even like really fans of boxing like that. They're commenting on fuckery always brings everybody's soul. But as for the actual fight itself, mm-hmm. I was entertained. It was a good fight. It was back and forth for the first half. Very competitive. Benavidez definitely gave Crawford a little bit of issue with his length, and so Crawford took a while to finally adjust to that, because it's not only that he's length, it's that pause, it's that he moves, he's a counter puncher, so whenever Crawford's coming in, Benavidez is waiting for him to counter him. So he needed, you know, the first half of the fight to really adjust to that movement and get the space in between them, so that he wasn't on the end of his punches like that every time. Because in the first couple of rounds, every time he was coming in, he was having a hard time getting past the jab, and then he was getting countered every time. And like what Pat said, he had to reset it because the length was giving him a lot of issues. I think it wasn't until I noticed, I said the fourth round. The fourth round is when he started getting adjusted to the length and making adjustments, not put himself at the end of his punches all the time. And then by the sixth round is when I thought that he completely adjusted. It was over by then. And after the sixth round, Crawford basically dominated. The first half was pretty competitive, back and forth. I gave Benavidez two rounds. In the first half, could have gave him an extra one, but I gave him two rounds. So it was 4-2 at the end of six. And then after that, it was complete domination. Where you want? I mean, the knee definitely did play a factor, but I think he was already starting to already get to him and pick him off even before the knee really started, really acting up. Because I didn't notice that further on, the final couple of rounds, but he really bothered him. And so, then that uppercut was a thing of beauty. Oh my god! When I saw it, I rewound it like three times. Right?
That shit was good.
Oh, I didn't even realize my 2 cents on it. Before we switch topics and talk about where we see Crawford going after this fight. For me, for both fighters, I thought that the fight, I think it lived up to the billing. The bad blood, the drama, the beef between the two. Yeah, I actually think it did. I think at least both fighters in the fight, it showed that Terrence Crawford was finally in the ring at the very least. Like Jose Benavidez, he was outmatched to me. He did show that he had a little more talent than what I thought that he had before, because he was catching Crawford cleanly with a lot of jabs, a lot of straight rights, rocking Crawford shit. And people can pretend they didn't see that, but I seen it. And Jose Benavidez showed that he had a lot more heart, courage. He was doing all the posing and the flexing after that, he got caught with some clean, but he showed that he does have he fought with some type of heart towards Terrence Crawford. Where a lot of other people, when they see that dog and Terrence Crawford staring across from him, after a while they break down and pretty much mentally give up. So, I thought the fight itself was a good fight. I thought the fight had a lot of intensity, a lot of back and forth in it. Terrence Crawford took over in the second half. I said on the last cast that Crawford would start off slow. I thought that Benavidez would only get like one round. I didn't think that he'd be as competitive as he was with Crawford. So, but Crawford did, download the information that he needed. Then he broke down Benavidez and got him up out of there like he did everybody else. But that being said, though, with Crawford taking that W, where do we see him going next, or where do we want to see him going next after this fight? I heard that Bob Arum already said that Sean Porter and Danny Garcia aren't elite welterweights, That's not a fight he wants to make.
Well, he's right. He's halfway. Danny Garcia is not an elite welterweight. He is right about that. Old man Danny Garcia would
still give Terrence Crawford trouble because he can.
He's struggle. He's a struggle. Fuck Swift. Nah, he's not gonna do it.
I don't like Swift, but to say that he wouldn't give him trouble is.
He won't.
Terrence Crawford has a shaky chin.
I don't know because
has a shaky chin.
I don't know about the. I seen Jose Benavides landing cleanly, man. I can't imagine if Danny Garcia is landing those same hooks.
Yeah, doing that stupid lined up tilt-a-whirl hook.
I can't now. Would I pick Danny Garcia to beat Terrence Crawford?
Hell no.
Why would I pick that? I'm just saying that Danny Garcia is not somebody. No, he's not an elite welterweight. Is he an elite welterweight? No, but what is he? He's better than everybody else that Terrence Crawford ever fought.
He's way better than everyone.
So, I mean, what does it matter if he's fought another elite welterweight? You can't sit and tell me that Terrence Crawford he can't fight a Sean Porter when he fought Jeff fucking Horn. Are you?
He can fight Sean Porter.
If he fought Hank Lundy, if he fought Derry Jean, he can fight a Danny Garcia, especially if you want to get another payday like he just got. He's getting $3.5 million to fight Jose Benavides. What you get to fight Danny Garcia? Five?
Well, right now Danny Garcia's punk ass lost, so he has to go back to the drawing board and get some wins.
That's still a step up in competition.
Danny Garcia would be easily Crawford's best opponent. I think Garcia has like virtually no chance against Crawford, but he'd still be Crawford's best opponent.
Agreed.
Yeah, I don't like him being ruled out that way. I don't think it would be. I'm going to hear what P got to say about this too. Like I said, I'm loving the Royal Rumble format. We just got to get in and let these hands fly, these words fly. But I don't see Danny Garcia being an opponent that Terrence Crawford has to fight as far as proving that he's the best. But I just think that it would prove that Terrence Crawford is as good as what they say he is. Because at the end of the day, you have to go by resumes if we're going to talk opponents. And we see the talent, and we see Terrence Crawford. We seen the fight yesterday. But like your stepfather said, like my homie just said to me, like my own eyes told me, Terrence Crawford did not look like the second best fighter in the world to me. Fighting Jose Benavides, I didn't see that fight. That fighter that fought Jose Benavides didn't look like he would go in there and dominate a Danny Garcia. Not to me.
No, he looked like he would have a little bit of difficulty with Danny Garcia.
Let's not overrate what Benavidez did yesterday. Yes, he was competitive for a little bit, but it wasn't like he was in any serious trouble. I don't think I want to use the word struggle or anything like that. He struggled with it. Do I think he's the second best fighter in the world? Absolutely not. I'm just saying. We're trying to act like he struggled.
No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying that
when
on the same cast, none of us thought the fight would even be competitive. We can't say the fight's not going to be competitive, watch a competitive fight, and then sit back and act like we can't be surprised. I am very surprised that Jose Benavidez had as much success as he had, because I've never seen Lomachenko fight a fighter of that caliber and have trouble.
Benavidez was also standing.
We're talking the second.
Whether he was in the pocket or not is debatable for what your definition of the pocket is, but he was in range pretty much the entire fight with his hands down or at his like hips. And I thought Crawford would bomb him out first six rounds.
I don't know about that.
I just thought it was
I knew he was gonna take a little bit to adjust the length. He's a tall, rangy guy. So it's going to take a couple of rounds just to that, and that's what it took. Like I said last night, if Benavidez was 5'8 instead of 6 foot, he would have been dominated from the get-go. He probably stopped earlier.
I mean, but we have to suspend belief to do that, because that's like me also saying that if Terrence Crawford's arms were a little bit shorter, Jose Benavidez would have more success. I mean, because you're randomly just giving attributes. At the end of the day, all we could do is say that.
Well, I mean, I'm not randomly keeping an attribute. I'm keeping like an attribute that would pose an issue for Crawford that Benavidez has had that would even make it competitive. That's what I'm saying. If they were the same height, it wouldn't have played out the same way. Like, I'm just using from an educated standpoint from what I've seen and what, like, I don't know. That's just my opinion.
No, because I mean, I'm a Paul Williams fan. People used to try to do that to Paul Williams. You can't just magically make him shorter. That's just what it is. But I'm just saying this. We knew Jose Benavidez was 6'2 before the fight. We still said Terrence Crawford was going to dominate him. So when we turn around and we watch the fight and we see it's a competitive fight, we have to go with our previous thought did not match what we actually seen. And my thing is, we all thought that Terrence Crawford was going to go in and give a dominant performance. Like, I didn't come away like impressed, like feeling like, man, how can y'all say anything? That's the best fighter in the world. Like, I didn't feel like that to watching it. Was it a good win for him? Of course, any win's a good win, but I just didn't. I didn't come away feeling like I felt when I seen Andre Ward beat Sergey Kovalev the second time, something like that. That's when I see that type of. You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. I didn't see that out of Crawford versus Benavidez.
I hope that Crawford fights whoever is the best dude on top ranks, welterweight list next, and then eventually moves to Errol Spence in 2019, because that's the fight we all want to see, right? Yeah, I mean, eventually. I don't know who that is right now.
I mean, right now, yes,
it might be Mile High Mike. It might be Mile High Mike.
Hold on, let me hear what you got to say. What you got to say, Pat?
I mean, Spence should be the one. I mean, as it's a unification, but we already know that the WBO already ordered an eliminator between. Lean Machine. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce that motherfucker's name, you know, but his nickname is descriptive enough. And what is it? Ariaza or something like that. So whoever's the winner of that fight is probably the next opponent before other shit goes on. Mm. And of course, Spence also needs to fucking fight too. Well, because
I was just going to say that.
He does.
He's fighting. Like, he's being inactive. Yeah. It's not all his fault, but still, like, I understand the top guys aren't like itching to fight him. Got to at least say,
man, no one's itching to fight
him. Inactive Spence would give a hellacious night to the Terrence Crawford that I saw fight yesterday.
I don't think Spence has been inactive. Spence has already fought twice this year.
I mean,
if so he fights again, Spence on his third month.
Spence on a 7-month break. Would give Terrence Crawford from last night absolute hell.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah. I think, man, listen, Terrence Crawford is a great fighter. Like I said, he seems to be a great fighter. At Jose Benavidez fight, I mean, I understand the length and all that, but I do want to see Terrence Crawford go from here and fight a Danny Garcia, a Sean Porter, or even if it's not that, because we know Manny Pacquiao is not getting in the ring with him, which should be talked about more, is the fact that Manny Pacquiao has been refusing to get in the ring with Terrence Crawford for years.
You don't want that smoke.
You know what I mean? That's somebody we could have seen Terrence Crawford go out there and dominate, or see if he's really as good as they say he is, because Manny Pacquiao didn't want no smoke with him. So
I think they sparred, didn't they? Pat would know.
I don't know if they sparred.
I don't know, man, but I think just Terrence Crawford. Give Terrence Crawford. I'll say Danny Garcia because I don't want to see him jump right to Keith Thurman or Spence because they need to have another. They're having another fight already. We already know they have fights lined up. Sean Porter and Spence need to unify so they can get two belts. I wouldn't mind seeing Crawford versus Keith Thurman, or at least Crawford versus Spence. I mean, Crawford versus Danny Garcia, just to get his feet wet at 147 against that top class of opponent. He still hasn't fought. To me, he still hasn't fought anyone top five welterweight. I just don't feel he fought one yet. Mm-hmm. So I think a Danny Garcia would be a good fight for that.
Agreed.
So yeah, that would be dope. About Well, what do we think about then? Where we think Jose Benavidez goes from here? Like, so we've seen that the dude got a bad leg.
He's going right to PR, man. He's going. That's where he's going. Physical rehabilitation, not Puerto Rico, because I don't want to be. But no,
you meant Puerto Rico.
Like, after what we've seen out of him, and he's at welterweight. How do we think Jose Benavidez Jr. looks going moving forward in his career at welterweight now?
I mean, he's gonna get back in the mix. I mean, as long as his knee holds up, he'll get back in the mix. You know, give him one confidence builder, and then let him go. Yo, I mean, I'm not sure what his top rank situation is like. If his promoter is top rank, or is he one of those motherfuckers that can jump from network to network?
He's
top rank. Okay.
The undercard, Mike Alvarado bombed some cat out. Some dude with a losing record. And he came in at, I think, 142 pounds. So they were talking about him fighting at 140 to try and make some noise or something like that. But I could also see Top Rank boosting him up to 147 to make it look like, Benavidez catches a name on his record.
I don't think that's a good idea for Alvarado.
Yeah, that's not really.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I mean, I'm thinking about, like, with Terrence Crawford being having the in-house belt for Top Rank, the WBO at welterweight, Jose Benavidez really doesn't have a chance of ever attaining that belt. So he would have to go ahead and cross the street and fight some of them welterweights over at PBC. What we think Jose Benavidez look like versus some of the PBC fighters? And I don't strictly mean the Sean Porters, the Danny Garcias. As a matter of fact, let's talk about that. What about a Danny Garcia versus a Jose Benavidez Jr. type of fight? How do you think that would look in the ring after what we've seen from Jose Benavidez the first couple rounds and before he got injured? So before the ninth round, everything before the ninth round, how do you think that Jose Benavidez would look versus a fighter?
I think Benavidez will tag the fuck out of Porter.
I think Benavidez would win 12-0 with 2 knockdowns.
Yeah, how do we feel about him at the moment?
Benavidez could be a serious issue with because he's tall and he has long arms. Jesse Vargas, who isn't, and he's been boosted up for a long time. His brother's a champ in recess on that. Jesse Vargas, look at how far, so to speak, that Jesse Vargas has gotten off of being like lengthy and kind of awkward and throwing a jab. Like, for real, you always hear, so
Jesse Vargas, Jose Benavidez Jr.
I know you can't just make a fighter, but imagine if Jose Benavidez had like Jesse Vargas's jabbing like strength, because Jesse Vargas loves to fucking jab. He would have given Crawford all types of fits.
I don't know. I mean, I really think as far the Crawford Benavidez fight, like I said, we discussed that. But Benavidez himself. I mean, what do you think? Benavidez versus Lamont Peterson. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of names out there. He's gonna have to cross the street because he'll never get that WBO from off of Crawford's waist. So he's gonna have to fight them, which all the other belts are with PBC. So
he should fight a Vargas level dude. Would be that would be a good scrap.
Vargas, what do you think, Pete?
Or Ugas or something like that, or
how do you guys see him faring? You see him getting the W though?
He could beat Amir Khan.
He
could beat Amir Khan.
It's Amir Khan though.
You know what's crazy about Amir Khan is that the crazy thing about Amir Khan, and I don't really want to touch on it too long, but it just popped me. Like I said, it's the fade out, run faded. So, sometimes you go on that little trip, especially with the gelato. But Amir Khan has that some type of tendency where he doesn't get knocked out. Like, he gets knocked out against the people that he should, the star fighters. But when he's fighting like Samuel Vargas, his last fight, for some reason, he will survive against them, and not give them the rub. And I can see that happening, and I'm spinning that around too, and I can see that happening against a Jose Benavidez. I can see Jose Benavidez actually getting caught from Khan, and then all of a sudden Jose Benavidez landing that shot, and then Khan somehow surviving, even though he's on the rock and roll, deer skates, everything. Ice, no, ice everything with him. You know, I can see him surviving it. I don't know.
I think Jose's knee honestly is fucked.
Yeah. I'm getting
certain the way
vibes.
The way that he kind of like tipped over after that knockdown, like it made you think, oh, something happened to his leg or whatever. It was the same way that like Cotto was able to fucking knock Sergio Martinez all over the ring in his pirate fight.
Yeah, I mean, Benavidez, though, I mean, it's a shame he might actually lost the prime by then. Like, so, I mean, we confirm much that knee's probably going to be a factor for the rest of his career, and we probably won't be able to really gauge on how really good he could have been or how good he actually is now.
Right.
You know? Because it's going to be a hindrance. I mean, well, if you can't move, you know, you're going to have problems fighting, especially elite fighters.
Well, I think if anything, we got to put a little more respect on his name, like I said, because
he did good.
You know what
I
mean?
Really
he did well. Performed. And it's on one hand, it's like because we can't have it. I can't have it both ways. And I think that he performed much better because I personally said I thought he would win one round from Terrence Crawford, maybe two, but I know I said one round. And he actually did a lot better as far as not even winning the rounds, but he looked more competitive than I thought that he would look against that caliber of opponent, especially not even facing anybody half as good as a Terrence Crawford. And he put the spotlight on himself too, because he had to perform. You know, he talked shit. He talked crazy. He had
to perform. He talked big shit.
So yeah, I definitely put a little more respect on his name leaning forward. I think as far as what do you guys think? Let's give him a ranking. What do you think? We know he's not an A-level fighter. Where do we have him? We have him B, C class. Where do we have him?
I think he's a B-level fighter right now.
B minus.
Yeah, I can see B minus, yeah. C plus. I can see B minus. I got to call him. I got to give him somewhere between B minus, C plus for this. Well, a B, maybe B minus, C plus because of the knee. The knee, it's the knee itself.
I mean, but if you saw him before, I mean, he wasn't that nice before. I mean, him lasting until the 12th round was hella impressive to me, honestly.
I remember hearing like stories of like him sparring with guys like Pacquiao and Khan and all of them when he was like 17. They said he was, you know, they said he was going to be the next prodigy. I remember hearing that for a little bit before the knee injury. So I mean,
he's the youngest Golden Glove champion in history, in boxing history, at 16 years old. That's why.
Crazy.
Yeah, so it's like, so I mean, I think it's I think B minus would be a good ranking for him. But like I said, with the knees looking like that, when we seen him against Crawford, when he suffered a knee injury, I can only give him like a C plus because you never know when the knee might go out.
Right, and it could go out in a very important situation. Like if, let's say, if he's facing a soft touch, and you right. know, all of a sudden, no, his knee goes out and he's looping around the ring, and then he actually gets caught or he gets stopped because the
right.
like, oh, you can't walk, man. That's gonna lower his like his brand. It's gonna lower his
brand. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to say, and that's how I see it. But he did, like I said, he put up a hell of a fight as far as when it comes to the heart, because halfway through that fight, he didn't exist. It was just nothing but Crawford putting all types of hands on him,
mm-hmm.
and him just being a big, tall, heavy, you know, punching bag coming towards that Crawford. Crawford doing what he wanted to do in his city, having fun, sticking his tongue out, you know, just whooping some ass. So like, well, that's what Crawford do. That's what Crawford does when you piss him off. So I'm sure he definitely enjoyed that too, as well for him. I do want to go ahead and talk about Young Machiavelli, Shakur Stevenson's fight, co-main event. It was kind of a step-up fight for him. The guy he fought, Simeon, I think this is, I don't know how to say his name, Vireo Simeon. He had only lost to, I forgot who he had lost to. He lost to somebody. Selby and Quigg, I believe it was.
He lost to Selby.
Right. Then he goes out there and he lost to both of them by unanimous decision. He goes out there and gets knocked out in the first round. by Shakur Stevenson, the guy we were just talking about his power. How do you guys feel about that fight? Let's talk about it.
Well, I mean, the only thing that I found was crazy is like they were really hyping Simeon up, and like he was
Cherini.
He wasn't anything special. I mean, other than that, like, yes, he left a distance with Quigg and Selby, but Selby doesn't KO anybody, and Quigg is quick, you know. So it's not like, I mean,
fuck Spark.
But we were just talking about how Shakur. Y'all was just telling me and P about how Shakur Stevenson don't knock anybody.
So I said that Shakur Stevenson fights dudes that he should be knocking off their feet and knocking unconscious, and he's getting Euro TKOs. And last night was an exception. Young Machiavelli got a hit. Mm-hmm. It was his first really impressive performance, and he did he put serious work in. I don't think he's ever going to be the dude that's going to be like bombing cats out the ring. But he's really accurate and he has really quick hands, so he'll be able to knock dudes out off of timing punches and stuff like that for as long as he wants to. And as long as he keeps getting bigger paws, he's going to consistently get better, and he's going to get stronger and so on and so forth. So it was a really good and very surprising performance by him. First round knockout was not what I expected at all.
Right, he destroyed that dude. What'd you think about it, P? We said we didn't care about him. What'd he do?
Yeah, I said I don't care if he can go out and just dominate people with boxing wise, that's all I need to see. And that the knockouts were the icing on the cake, and that was the icing on the cake last night. Man, he looked real good last night, I tell you. So all that lack of power stuff, he actually has some power. So just how much, we don't know, but he has at least something, and he has the skills. So that's all really that my main concern. It's not like he don't gotta knock people out. You know what I'm saying? If he just shows the skills to dominate people, then I'm okay with that.
He also, and just, and I'm gonna let you know who that was finished, Stevenson also has had a knockout or a stoppage in three of his last four fights. That boy going to get his grown man strength in. He's about to be a problem, man. Shakur Stevenson with power, and not saying that he has to have first round one punch knockout power. You don't need that, but just having legit power that you can hurt people, keep them off of you, and do what you got to do to do, you know. But Shakur Stevenson, that may be a hell of a combination.
I mean, yesterday he really got the nickname Young Machiavelli to me, because I've heard that nickname for him since shit like 2014 or something like that. And you hear at least some of the people that we know, because we know some cats from New Jersey, they have been talking about this dude for a long time, and they say that, you know, he is mean as hell and like a demon and all that shit and sparring, and you never really saw that before last night. And last night he really put the beats to the dude, so I was very happy to see that.
What you think, Pat?
Like I said, he stopped the dude. I mean, and that's all you can ask for. I mean, he did stop him. My thing is just like they're making a big thing about this guy. I mean, like,
so where do you think he goes from here with it? Then tell us where you go from here, Pat. When what you've seen and how you've seen the fight, then tell you how. I'm sorry. Tell us how you. Where do you see Stevenson going from here?
I mean, it depends, though. I mean, because he was big, though. He was a super feather in this fight. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be featherweight or super featherweight. I don't know where he's going with this right now. But I mean, all I know is he's probably going to be the supporting cast for any Crawford card going in the for a couple of cards, mm-hmm. You know, before he gets a main event spot.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So he was at I'm sorry. Where do you guys think is where he goes in? That's gelato freezing me up a little bit when I was trying to talk. Where do you guys think he goes as far as championship is what I'm talking about? The championship role for Shakur Stevenson. How do we see him competing?
I still think he needs maybe a little bit more seasoning, a little bit more experience. He's talking about he's ready for the Selvies and all that. Like, we're not gonna go that far. Let him get a little bit more, but I think he'll be ready soon, but not just yet. Not just yet. Just a little bit more experience.
Yo, Shakur Stevenson is still like, he's 21, 22, 23, something like that.
21.
He's 21. He needs to fight like six more guys, like the dude he fought yesterday, and then start talking about, oh, we want to fight JoJo Diaz or something like that. So I'd say that's a 5+ fight away from fighting JoJo Diaz or whatever the comparable name is and whatever weight you make road to.
At 130, you only have the champions like Tank. You only have Farmer. You have, what's his name, Burke? Burchell? Burchell. But what about the other fighters? Do you think that a Shakur Stevenson versus someone like a Quillar?
I would put him with like the best of the rest category. You know, he'd be ranked around like the 5 through 8 or so. And I think he'd be competitive with anyone though, with outside of like a real killer or something like that.
I agree.
I mean, right now, I mean, you don't want to push Shakur in with a 130 puncher, because you know, those are the type that can ruin him easy, you know.
Well, I'm gonna say this before we get to the next topic, but I personally, and you know, y'all know I always got to put on for my Ohio players, but I wouldn't mind seeing Shakur Stevenson versus my boy Yandale Evans. And I'll just say that and leave that there.
That'd be nice. Yeah. Well, it depends if he's gonna be your boy, and you know, after this month though.
Yeah, I told you, because I can't just go out and just be talk. We can't flood the people. I tell the people all the time, I love my Ohio fighters. So in this position, I can't just flood y'all with the love that I really have for them. But just know secretly under the wing, it's a lot of love for the Ohio fighters. Period. My fellas can tell you, Ohio players.
Shout out to Larry Holmes.
Anybody, you know what I mean? AB, anybody can get it. Sean Porter brought the WBC back. Robert Easter, he'll be back on top. Mikey Garcia was a bump in the road, but we back to success. Man, listen, Rasheed Warren about to get another belt around his waist. Yandale Levins need the opportunity. Charles Conwell coming for 154. Ohio players, man. Hey, I don't know, but speaking of regional fights, in Pat's region, there's going to be a fight. Demetrius Andre getting his chance to get his third championship. He's fighting, I can't say the guy's name, Walter K. Walter K. He's fighting him for a vacant WBO middleweight championship, which was vacated, which was willingly relinquished by Billy Joe Saunders. Because Billy Joe Saunders tested positive for exilophrane or xylophrane, whatever it's called.
It's so dope you can't say it.
Something, right, I can't even say it. It's prohibited. I can't even say it. Like,
yeah,
I can't even say
that's
it.
That's,
you know,
how strong it is.
Come on, man. What do y'all think about that? First, let's talk about what we're going to get into. We're going to talk about Andre first and the fight and him getting his opportunity. And then we're going to talk about Billy Joe Saunders, who I've actually seen somebody, one of the ravers, referred to Billy Joe Saunders. They referred to BJS as Billy Juice Saunders. I died myself.
Billy what?
Billy Juice Saunders. BJS. Wow. Billy Juice Saunders. I died when I read that.
Yo.
That's funny.
That's better than Silly Ho Saunders.
Right.
So, Andrade is fighting this dude, Walter A or K or whatever.
Hey.
And according to Pat, who is my leading expert on this topic, the dude is an unknown African, which places him right below an unknown Asian in terms of possible like dust ups. Like, we might possibly see the dude throw some serious punches, because he does have 16 knockouts and 17 wins. But I think Andre is going to just put it on cruise control and hopefully show out, because As much as I have given the A-Team shit over the years, I do want to see Andrade succeed because he is hella talented.
Mm-hmm. What you think, Pat? Pat, ain't you going to be in the building? Can I fight?
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I've mentioned this before. Yes, I got tickets to this card. I had it, you know, pretty much like the day that they came out, I went and got my tickets. I'm going to be, I'm going to be somewhere like 6 rows, I guess, from ringside, somewhere around there. So my, you know, my seats is good. And you know, so if you see me standing up, because I'm a big guy, you know, that's me. Yeah, I got, because I was excited. I was like, oh shit, like, you know, because Boston don't get the big fights like you know, like other areas. You know, not like, you know, like New York or California. You know, God forbid. You know, never mind. You know, Boston, one of the biggest cities in this goddamn country. But yeah, you know, I'm like. You know, I'm like, hey, you know, Andre's about to get Billy Joe Saunders, and you know, this is a big fight. And you know, they had the press conference that was like 10 minutes away from where I worked, and I'm like, this is gonna be dope. So, like, and I'm like, you know, I'm like anticipating, and then when this motherfucker got popped, I was just like, I was tight, I was stupid tight. I was like, what the fuck? You know, and I'm thinking to myself, I was like, this motherfucker can't keep himself clean. For just like, why can't you just
one cycle?
And I mean, he was already in hot water for some other fucker he was doing, because he was about to pay some homeless woman crack or something to slap some random person that he was calling the pedophile and offering her crack. This motherfucker is disturbed, like he's a scumbag. Yeah, but you would think that he would straighten up a little, because he was getting, because you know, he was supposed to get 2.3 million for this bullshit. And then, you know, and I was gonna be in the building, I'm gonna watch, and I was gonna watch Andre, you know, take his belt from him finally. But you know, when that shit got announced, I was like, oh god damn. And I was like, who the hell is number two? And at first I was like, number two, it's like, I never heard of Walter K. He's a Namibian fighter. He's basically another Julius Ondongo. He's from his country or whatever. So I was like, could we have another situation like this game where a known African comes out of nowhere and just gives this motherfucker all types of hell? And anyway, that's what I'm hoping too, because like I said, I mean, it's a main event fight now. I really wanted a high level fight, but I'll be happy if the damn fight is at least competitive enough where there's some drama, but the right person, when, you know, Andre, you know, he actually wins or whatever. Now, if Walter K wins and he comes to start and he knocks Andre out, you know, that's boxing. I mean, it won't be the first and won't be the last time that shit like that happened. But I'm not gonna actually say I was disappointed, but obviously I was never gonna look for a refund. I was gonna go regardless and enjoy myself, because it's just like you mentioned before, Terrence Farmer's gonna be on that card, mm-hmm. making his first defense of his belt. You know, so I can't wait to see that. But Andre. I mean, Andre will probably have a little trouble because he's been training for a Saunders, not for a potential hard hitting African. You know. I think there's gonna be a lot of X factors there, and I guess, well, I mean, next week, next Saturday, we're gonna see that play out on DAZN. You know,
right? What type of size is Walter? I mean, pause on that, but pause on that, double pause on that one. I meant to say height. Double, triple pause. Anyway.
Strange.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. Like, we don't know what type of height. We don't know this guy. Like, I've never seen him fight before. So, Pete, what do you think, like, about BJS and the situation, and now Andre getting his opportunity to fight for the? How you feel about the situation?
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we hear you great.
All right, cool. Man, fuck Billy Joe Saunders. I'm pissed about it. I'm pissed because, like, listen, I'm happy for Andre. I'm team Andre too. Like, I'm team 18 too. I want to see Andre shine. My thing is, it's fucked up everything for Andre because, as I said before, and I keep saying this, Andre just can't catch a break. Yes, he's still fighting for the belt, but listen, in my opinion, he needed the name on his resume more than the belt itself. Like, to me, it's cool that he's fighting for a belt. He'll be a champion again. But it's more important that he has a name like Billy Joe Saunders on his resume to go along with that belt than just getting a belt off of some Iron Mike Sharp. Like, we don't need to see this. Like, we need to see him fighting top caliber guys. And well, however you feel about Billy Joe Saunders, he's at the top of the middleweight division. He's one of the top names of the middleweight division. So he needed that. He needed that rub. And now, because of Billy Joe's fuckery, now that gets taken away from him, and he's just fighting for a vacant belt. So I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, that's basically what it is, man. And I mean, but like I said, Boston's gonna show up for it regardless because Andre is the local boy. But it's just like, you know, I know there are some clowns that were talking about, haha, Hearn took a loss. Nigga, we all took a fucking loss. I mean, that was one of the most anticipated fights this year, you know, and
Saunders was great.
Yeah. It really was.
Okay. I'm going to put a disclaimer on that, everybody. Patty is from the New England area. That is not the temperature over here in the Midwest.
Very not the temperature in New York.
Well, definitely temperature in the middleweight division.
Yo, so yeah. I pulled up Walter Kay's box rack, and his nickname is very clearly the Execution.
Right.
Yo, this cat does not look like he plays around. Pause.
I just checked him too, and he's tall. Power. I just read something about him knocking out some opponent that he beat, and then he called the dude weak. After he beat him, he still called him weak. Said he was weak. Like, come on, man. So you about to fight an African fighter we've never heard of?
He's coming in the ring.
He might be tall. He has his confidence about himself. Not only that, he's knocking people out. So this might be a really good matchup.
You may see a fade. The thing with Andrade and Saunders is you didn't know if it was going to be a stinker or a good fight. And hopefully, at least now you know there will be some punches thrown because Walter K don't play. You don't.
I'm pretty sure like he's gonna be in the front of an American audience, a worldwide audience. So yeah, I mean, in under those circumstances, I don't see Walter K. And I saw one of his fights. Like, I think there's only one fight available on YouTube, and you know he does fight pretty aggressive. You know, that's for damn sure. So I'm pretty sure he's probably gonna make the most of it. I mean, hey, that's how stars are born in boxing, man. They come out of nowhere and, you know, they put on a performance of a lifetime, and then sometimes they end up running shit like King Sore, you know? And so, you know, maybe, you know, it looks like maybe something like that may happen. All I know is I'm going to be in the building for it, and I hope something extraordinary does happen in this fight.
I mean, I think we have to watch out for, because we've seen Andre be put down before.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and if that's something that we may have to be on the lookout for, because we don't know how much footage is actually out there on Walter K. You know, so
very little.
So Andre's going to have to pretty much learn this fighter on the spot and prove his skill, and he should be able to do that because I think extremely high of Demetrius Andre as a fighter. I think he's going to be able to figure him out. And pretty much he should be able to. We haven't seen Walter K, so it's hard for me to even say anything about him. All we know is who he's fought, and everybody he's fought, he's knocked out except for one person. So he's done what he's supposed to do. So again, until we see the fight, and that's coming up this weekend and Saturday, until we see the fight, we really don't know what to expect from him. But all we can say is, yeah, Billy Joe Saunders, he blew the opportunity. And he definitely did. Now, and another thing, how long has he been doing this? That's another thing that we need to talk about. How can they allow they allow you to so in the UK, you're allowed to just go ahead and just use a PED just all willy-nilly to lose some weight for a fight? That's crazy. Well, to me.
Yeah, no,
this shit called?
No, the stipulation is you can use up to the day of the fight, which is like but you can do it in Britain or whatever. I'm like, why? Like, that doesn't make no sense. It's a fucking PED. You know, you're not supposed to be able. You're not supposed to be able to use something. And that's the reason why Saunders, because we all know this motherfucker does not live a Spartan life. This motherfucker eats candy like it's going out of style. He's a candy eater. You know, he walks around. He's 5'11". Walks around 200 pounds when he's not training. And that's why he only has 3 fucking title defenses in 3 years. And he scheduled just as many of these fucking fights as he's had title defenses. He's undisciplined. He's an undisciplined fuck who gets into trouble.
Didn't Saunders not even protest being stripped of his belt?
No, he gave it up because he willingly
gave it up. He didn't even fight.
He vacated the title.
He fucked up, and he knew he fucked up.
Right, there was no excuse. It's allowed over in the United Kingdom. It's allowed over there, but you're not fighting over there, so you have to abide by the rules of the country that you're fighting in.
Yeah, and I mean, low key, I wanted the Massachusetts Commission to allow him to fight, allow him to fight. So at least, you know, because I want Andre to at least have the name. But the commission did the right thing. You know, they gave him. You know, they was like, all right, yeah, we're not allowing you to fight. And then the WBO was trying to be on some bullshit. So, like, when they got that, they was like, well, this is going to be an interim title. You know, I was like, get the fuck out of here, interim title. You just said it was going to be for the full title. And it wasn't for, you know, Billy Joe, like, saying that, no, I'm giving up this belt, bruh. You know, it was going to be some interim title shit, disrespecting the whole event. You know, and it's just
I think that Billy Joe Saunders failing this drug test is going to stick with him for the rest of his career. I think it's a bad look for him, like a hardcore bad look for him.
I don't. I think that the
really
UK, no. I think over in the UK they don't care. I think because over there he can just fight over there for the rest of his career.
Like, yeah,
that's what they used to do. So, and for them, it's like they said, well, it's legal over here. So he's just going to stay away from the U.S. fights. He's going to get it. He's going to get a belt and force you to fight him over there. He's not going to ever come back. Unless he moves up to 168.
Man, he could stay in. He could stay in. Good riddance. I'm not interested in seeing him really fight all that much anyway.
For real, fuck Billy Joe Saunders.
What time is the fight? What time is the fight on Saturday? Like,
I don't know.
Like, what, 9 or something? I don't know. Mal knows all that shit.
I don't know, guys. But I just
realized I gotta fucking go to a wedding, so I'm probably gonna miss the fight. So I gotta find a way to tape it or watch the people.
You have a DAZN account. DAZN has an app, bro. You can actually watch it on your phone.
I don't have DAZN. Okay, I guess I'll make a DAZN account and fucking just do the or do like a free trial or something like that. And then I don't want to. Whatever, I'll figure out a way.
Well, that's the easiest way, motherfucker.
it's a super easy way to do it.
Oh, silly. So, hey, we're gonna get it. Wrap up the show. I'm gonna let my fellas tell y'all a little bit about where you can find them at. So we can start off with Smoke. Go ahead, just shout out to people, let them know again where they can find you at.
What's up, y'all? So it's your boy Smoke. You can catch me on Instagram and Twitter at Free Smoke Boxing, and you can always catch me once a week on the Fade Hour, this show. It's on YouTube, Podomatic, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, man, it's past Scorpion, man. Like I always say, man, like the past Scorpion, like, you know, you find me, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm everywhere, you know what I'm saying? I'm everywhere where you want to be, like Beast, motherfucker. So, yeah, just put in my name, goddammit, in the entry, man.
My man
sounded
so mysterious and shit. But anyway, this is your boy P. Find Instagram at Bodega Boxing. Hit me up.
All right, y'all. And like I said, it's been another beautiful episode of the Fade Hour. We thank y'all and appreciate y'all for tuning in. Y'all have another good night.
Thank you guys for listening to Ringside Rave. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time. Peace.